Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Let it sound as loud as the other one was sounding. All right, if you are not a nursing mother, and you, I want today's meeting to be a bit more close, because a lot of us are, we work in secular spaces, and the question around winning souls, you know, there will always be that question about, so how do I even start a conversation around this? I tried to touch a bit on it. The mic, okay, ma'am, I can use my mic. I'm going to talk about how to reach out to the lost around or in our corporate environment. And so, is there anybody here that doesn't work in a corporate environment? You don't interact with people in an office at any level. So what do? You run your own business. But you definitely, it's a corporate environment. What's the definition for corporate? Because really now, even Alaga Duro, people that are doing a MC for engagement, they are corporates. I've seen corporate Gary. I've seen corporate all kinds of. Not necessarily office. Even mechanical engineers, people that work, you get to work in a secular space. The truth, like I said in my caption, is that you are going to spend more time outside the church than you spend within the church walls. So if you really are going to reach the unchurched or the unsaved, the truth is that most people who are unsaved are not going to be in the church. Most of the people that you see come out when I ask them to give their life to Christ are people who are already aware of Jesus. People that are unaware of Jesus or don't even give a care about Him, most of them you will not find them in church at all. And those are the lost. There are two categories of lost, truly. There are people that are lost in the house and people that are lost outside the house. There are people that are lost in the house and there are people that are lost outside the house. In Luke 15, Jesus gave a parable of a lost sheep and a lost coin. It's good to see you. How are you doing? Lost sheep and lost coin. How many of you remember that parable? I need a feedback church this evening. Right? Lost sheep and lost coin. The lost sheep was outside the fold. Abby? But the lost coin was lost inside the house. So it's possible to be lost within or lost without. So when he gave that story of the lost sheep and of the lost coin was lost within the house, the lost sheep was lost outside the house. Immediately after that parable, he gave the parable of the prodigal son. And the parable of the prodigal son, there was so much focus on the son that was lost outside, and very minimum focus on the son that was lost even though he was inside. So that parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep was an illustration of the prodigal son's story. That the brother inside the house was lost even though he was inside the house. And there are many people who are lost in the house. Religion is the mastermind for people who are lost within the house. Like I would say, that sin keeps you away from the Father while you are unsaved. Religion keeps you away from the Father while you are saved. Religion is terrible, okay? So most of the people that you see within the church that come out and give their life to Christ are people that are maybe lost within the house. The real people who are lost outside are outside. And we're going to spend most of our time outside the church. That's the truth. So if you're going to even win souls, you must learn how to engage people outside the church space, if you're going to be sincere, really, about winning souls, there are people that you spend more time with. You spend more time in your office than you spend in your house. And so there are more tendencies for you to interact with people outside the church space. I mean, we come to church on Tuesdays, latest by 9 o'clock. This place is already empty. By 8, 8:30, we've closed. Everybody's gone. Sunday, no matter how long we stay, even friends and family service, last by 2 p.m., everybody's already going. So you have Monday, you have Wednesday, you have Thursday. I mean, you are interacting with people, you are doing business, you are selling clothes, you are sewing clothes, you are barbing hair, you are marketing, you are doing designs, you are doing all that. So what do you do? You work in a government office. What do you do? Government office. What do you do? You run your own thing. Yeah, so but you interact, definitely attract people. You interact with people. You interact with people. You definitely interact. Nobody here doesn't interact with people. Abi? Everybody does. No matter what level your work is. So that's why this teaching tonight is very, very important. I want you to please put your heart to it. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. I'm going to ask Mr. Duma around. Okay. You have a mic. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 to 19. What does it say?
Of God,
yes,
who had reconciled us to himself,
he has reconciled us to himself, yes,
by Jesus Christ, and had given to us,
and he has given to us
the ministry of reconciliation.
So, when he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, he gave us a ministry of reconciliation, yes,
to wit, that God was in Christ.
So, God was in Christ,
reconciling the world unto himself,
reconciling the world to himself. So, when you saw Christ dying on that cross, God was in Christ. Reconciling the world to himself. Can you give us NLT for that verse 18? NLT for verse 18. What does it say?
And all of this is a gift from God.
Yes.
Who brought us back to himself through Christ.
Yes.
And God has given us this task of reconciling.
So he said
he
gave us a task. NLT calls ministry what King James calls ministry. Look for CEV and good news. Do more. So what King James calls a ministry, NLT calls it a task. So God gives us a task. Someone say, I have a task. Say it again. Say, I have a task. Say it convincingly. Say, I have a task. So God gave us a task to reconcile. How does he hand it? Help me. NLT. How does NLT hand it? He gave us a task to reconcile people.
To him. And gave us the task of... NLT. This looks different.
NLT, the one you were reading before, you already started.
Yes, I went back to CV, but this reads a task of making others his friends also. So
yes, a task of making others his friends also. That means we are already his friends. So if you look at the word reconcile, concile is to make one. To make one. So accountants use that language, they reconcile account to make one. Join accounts together. So when he uses the word re means that we were once one. Are you following my point? And then we lost our way, and then God, now having reconciled us to himself, now gives us a task that we should go out and reconcile others to himself. Okay, what does good news? Do you have good news? What does good news say?
All this is done by God.
Yes.
Who through Christ changed us from his enemies.
He changed us. God changed us from his enemies.
Into his friends.
Into his friends.
And gave us the task of making others his friends also.
And gave us the task. That's good news. That's not NLT. It was NLT I wanted you to read. He gave us the task of making others his friends also. What does CEV, Contemporary English Version, say? CEV.
God has done it all.
God has done it all.
He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us.
He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us.
And he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others.
So he now gave us work. So KJV calls it ministry. Somebody say, I have a ministry. Say it boldly. Say, I have a ministry. You see, I don't want you to be afraid of the word ministry. You have a ministry. You are in ministry. And your ministry is to make others God's friend also. The way you are God's friend. God says, having made us his friends, he gave us a task. He gave us a task that we should now make others his friends also. We have a work and we have a ministry. The ministry of reconciling others to God. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. What does it say? John 15, verse 16. NLT.
Ye have not chosen me.
You have not chosen me.
But I have chosen you.
But I've chosen you.
And ordained you.
And I ordained you.
That ye should go.
Now, is that King James?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it says, I've chosen you. Someone say, I'm chosen. I want to hear you, church. Say, I'm chosen. So when God says, when God uses the word choose, that means he had options. So God had options, but then he chose you. And that's why the word adoption is very powerful. Somebody once was trying to undermine my sonship of God. When I told him I'm as much a son of God as Jesus is, he said, you are just adopted. So he used the word adopted. That we're adopted sons. I said, adoption is powerful. Adoption means I'm chosen. You see, because a lot of us were giving back to our parents. If they had the choice, they won't give back to us. They couldn't choose us. But adoption means that you enter an orphanage and you picked one. I mean, you looked at all the other children and you said, give me that one. You were deliberate, and that's how God picked you. He looked and said, give me that one. That's how he picked you. He says, I've chosen you and I have ordained you. That word ordained is powerful. What does NLT use for the word ordained? John 15, verse 16. What does it say?
You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go.
I appointed. Anointed. And I said to go. To go and do what?
To go and produce lasting fruits.
Produce. King James says to bear fruits and that your fruits may abide. Are you following me this evening? So now, I know that where you are seated, you are looking at every other person going to do the work apart from you. And when we are mentioning or talking about stuff like this, there's something in your mind that makes you, you know, just somehow is somehow psychological that just exempts you from you know, at least I'm a staff, I'm a tech guy, I'm a tech bro, I'm an accountant, you know, I'm not a pastor. But Jesus looked at you and said, look, I chose you and I've ordained you. When I chose you, I didn't leave you, you know, without ordaining you. So say, but I'm not an ordained minister. Tell him, say, neighbor, look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. Say, neighbor, you are an ordained minister. You don't need anyone to ordain you anymore. Have I proven it by scriptures? My first verse says he has given us a ministry. So if they ask you, are you a minister? I'm a minister. Second scripture says, I ordain you. So you can say, even though I'm in ministry, I'm not ordained. But the second scripture said, you have been ordained. So when you're working now, that's an ordained minister work. Telling you, that's an ordained minister. You are ordained. I told you guys the story before. I was to go give a family a quit notice for not paying their rent. And when I went there to give them the quit notice, and I got there and I saw the lady on the floor with her child, and they were sick of high fever. When I entered the place, I was very touched. And because I was first of all, you see, I was called to bar in 2010. I was born again in 1999. I've been more born again than called to work. So I have been called, fire baptized, blood washed, spirit filled believer before I was called to work. So I put the quit notice aside and I printed out a quit notice for sickness. You see, I have a quit notice already, I already printed, I already typed. Anyway, sickness, pew, I print out. For out of your belly shall flow. It's my printer. Yeah, right in my belly. Laid hands on her. Laid hands on her daughter. Got them healed. When she felt better, then I gave her the quit notice that you have to leave this house. I'm an ordained minister. You see, when you go about with that consciousness, it helps you know. And Christians have to understand. A lot of us to understand where we stand with God. That Jesus does not need to come to your office, you are already there. Jesus is not going to come to your street. You are already there. There is no need for another Jesus. He said, I will be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. So Jesus is called God with us. The Holy Ghost is God in us. So right there on your street, right there in your compound, when you walk into your classroom, Jesus has walked into your classroom. You have a ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry of reconciliation. So today we're looking at that very clearly on how to reach out. Now, with all these teachings, is there anybody who has tried to reach out to someone to share the gospel with them? Who is willing to share his or her testimony with us this evening? Anyone? Anyone? Even if it didn't work. If you're not able to convert. How do marketers stay in this? From prospect to marketers in the house. There was no conversion. So even if it's not close the sale, but there was a prospecting, and you want to share with us. Let me see, because I've been talking about this all day, all month. It wouldn't be nice. Okay, pilgrims, help me with the mic. It wouldn't be nice for me to have spoken all this and nobody has even tried anything at all. It could even be on your WhatsApp. It could be a chat. It's very easy now. You don't even have to see the person one-on-one, face-to-face. All right, so pilgrims, how did it go?
So there was a guy at my office.
Can you please give us some volume?
This guy at my office.
Can you please stand up so that we can see you? Yeah.
Okay.
You're shy. Okay.
So, I think it was the first week. So I had so much energy and said, oh, it's been long. I actually preached to someone. I'm going to preach to someone.
Mm.
So I actually preached to two people. One is my house help that lives with me.
That one doesn't have a choice. I'll not be eating. This food is Jesus' food. This house is Jesus' house. Just pay the rent.
And then the second person was my colleague. So I got to work that morning and I barely knew him because he just joined the organization not up to a month. So, but he just came to me and I was like, hello, how are you? Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with him? And I was just blunt like that and I was so surprised. He said, actually, he feels like he doesn't know God and he's in a space where he's angry. So as I spoke with him, he said he just lost his father and he has a lot of unanswered questions. So I tried my best to talk to him, like to encourage him that even when we have unanswered questions, that God is still God. And the only way he could get out of whatever he is in is if he continues to, like, God is a father that can be approached. So you can ask him the questions. You can let him know how you feel. You can ask the questions. So he was encouraged after I spoke with him and I told him that he should not leave the place of his fellowship because he lost his dad. So
he was once a week after, he was once a Christian.
Yes,
then he drifted back because
fell
of
out
what
because
happened.
He lost his dad.
Right.
So a week after, he actually told me that he is now fellowshipping like before.
And wow, fantastic. Anyone else wants to share? Anyone else? Don't be shy. Anyone on your chat? Okay. Tochi wants to share. If I have two ladies sharing and no guys shared, next Sunday, I will not allow any guy to sit in the front.
Praise the Lord. So there's this Muslim on my WhatsApp.
Okay.
So he posts some things. I don't know if he's even aware. Okay, he's like this really strong Muslim. So he's always posting Quran. On Friday, you say, record a voice note of you reading the Quran and send to me, all those things. Then one day he posted 2 fish and 5 slices of bread. And said, he wrote a caption. So then I tried to, because he said, what... common grounds too. So I asked him that, do you know what, you know, when I started to approach that Bible, he stopped replying. Then one day he posted a video of a guy dodging swords coming at him, and he said, this is the exact, this is the live video of what no weapons formed against me shall prosper. And I said, oh, Isaiah 54:17, do you? And I said, okay, can you share your experiences, because I'm on this country and everything. And maybe he just zoned out. So that was the second time, so that didn't work. Then a bolt guy, as you said, when you're paying 3.5 for bolt, they must. So we were in the boat, and his wife kept calling him to send money for one mudu of rice. He kept posting her, I'm driving. And I said, ah, okay, send this money now. Anyway, so we just started talking, Sha. I said, ah, this country is so hard, blah, 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 blah. And everything. I'm like, the truth is, you will be shocked the people that are living comfortably in this time. You know, it's only when you have, you know, I just tried to like, you know, but he's like, it's not possible. You know, you must get your hands dirty to survive. And before we knew, we were at the church. So, yes. So, two.
All right. So, that's two instances. Now, the thing about the Word of God is that the Word of God is a seed. Who else wants to give it?
Wants to share. Okay.
Wants to share. The Word of God is a seed. When I started talking to people about Jesus, I couldn't get anyone saved. Everybody I preached to, some of them can even turn to fight. So they used to tell me that, my pastor said, don't worry, the Word of God is a seed. When you plant it, just plant it, and you're not going to be watering it in the place of prayer. It doesn't have to be you. Jesus Christ says, one soweth, another reapeth. You understand? And says, I'm sending you to a field where you have bestowed no labor. So there are people who just come and reap. He says, but he that soweth and reapeth, both of them do so to the kingdom. So it's not about either sweat or either even planted, like Paul said. He said, but God that gave the increase. All right? So you want to say something?
My two instances.
You have saved the guys, I'm telling you. Because if it's another, I think I saw another lady raising up her hand here now.
Okay. Two instances. First instance is my boss. My boss used to be a Christian, born into a Christian family, but when I start working with him, he keeps on saying things like, you guys that believe in Jesus and things like that. And I'm looking at him and keeps on trying to turn me to see his point of view. Mm. And I'm the kind of person, I don't really judge your point of view. Just don't force it on me.
Mm.
So until one day he had, last month we got denied a contract we were supposed to do. And then he was saying that he didn't even expect. I said, it's because you always talk like this. And we just started talking about how he should be more positive about things, and then I told him how, because I was negative about things didn't work out, and he said that okay, that he'll call me later about it. He never did. But the small talk we had about it too, I gave him a book to read. The small talk we had recently, I see him, even sometimes he'll post some 30 seconds clips of some music videos, gospel music videos. Yeah. And I'm like,
happening.
Who is this person?
It's happening.
So the other day we met at work, and when he was talking to me, I knew God is touching him small.
Yes.
And I was happy about it. And then the second instance, last week, 2 weeks Saturday, I was going out, and then Jehovah Witness, they approached me. And then they said that they wanted to talk to me.
But those guys are the people that were supposed to copy. There is nobody, there's no religious sect in the world that understands the power of house to house, door to door, like those guys. So if you open your door in Lagos, one mosquito and two Jehovah's Witnesses will enter. You mistakenly open your door, one mosquito and two Jehovah's Witnesses. Those guys, we need to study them. I'm telling you. So how did it go?
The two people walked up to me and they said that they wanted to share the Word of God with me, and I was like, okay. Because me, I know how hard it is to walk up to somebody and talk. So I always try to, even if I'm in a hurry, I always try to wait and listen to encourage the person. But then the guy now said that he wants to talk to me about the goodness of God. I don't know why it just came to my mind. I didn't know what church they were from. I just said, can we pray? And then the guy said that he wants to show me something in the Bible first. I said, and I've got a bit scared. I said, no, let's pray at least. Prayer is the key. Jesus started with prayer and ended in prayer. So the lady laughed, and then the guy said that, okay, that before we pray, that I should open to Matthew 6:4. And was showing where Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray standing in the streets like hypocrites or something
like that. Tell them to enter your house now. Let's not stand in the streets.
So
let's enter the compound.
So I said that because I was actually in a hurry, and I told him that can I give him my number so that when he's ready for talk or talk, that he will call me. So I gave him my number. I collected his number. He didn't save properly, but he later did. So when I called him, he has been dodging my calls. But sometimes when I see him, I'll wave him. Ah, we have not seen, we have not spoken. But that was just my instant
experience. All right. Thank you very much. Let's celebrate in place. Chinedu. All
right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I've reached out to four people so far.
You reached out to four people?
Yes, sir. And one wasn't physically, it was virtually.
Okay.
So there was this new social financial platform that came out recently, and I was trying to like gain traction there. Then I started by asking random questions. Most of the guys there are guys doing,
put your mic in your mouth so you hear you guys.
Most of the guys there are guys doing crypto, and also they were just talking money stuff. So I started asking random questions that what is the cost for peace of mind and what is the cost for rest and things like that. And people were just engaging. I was constantly getting about 5 engagements on each post. Then at one point I asked, what is the cost that Jesus paid? That what is the price Jesus paid? And one Muslim guy replied me almost immediately. He said $0. And I laughed. I said, it's true, $0. But I said, ain't it the things that have value the most aren't things that money can't buy. They are not things that you can place a price on. That the most valuable things are priceless. Then he was like, oh, true. Then I did not continue asking social questions again. I kept on seeing spiritual things that the hassles of life and all tends to overcloud our mind, but Jesus makes it easier and things like that. And then he followed up. And at some point, I was like, saying Jesus is beautiful. And he said, yes, on that. So I reached out to him on Twitter, because you can link your Twitter. So, and I was trying, I wanted to get his number, but he did not. So I just went back and I was like, oh, that if you believe, you can. All you have to do is to confess and say, oh, yeah, Jesus, you accept him at all. And he liked it, but he did not say anything.
Yeah, but one thing is sure, that you're sown. You see, that's what is key. It's not everybody that accepted Jesus in the day of Jesus. Some people accepted Jesus in the mouth of the disciples. How many of you know that Paul was alive in the day of Jesus? Paul was alive in the day of Jesus, and he did not accept Jesus. There are several people, at least their age group, were alive in the days of Jesus, and he preached, and none of them accepted him. Like the Pharisees, but people like Gamaliel, people that came afterwards, accepted it in the mouth. It says, the Bible says, and the apostles preached, and many of the religious leaders were received the faith. So you see it. Thank you. Oh, you want to say one more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so there was 2 weeks ago, I think, the Bible study, I came.
You have to put it back in your mouth.
2 weeks ago, the Bible study, I came, and I was really moved. Because I remember when we were younger, and myself and my younger brother would just randomly go out in the evening to share tracts, even if we won't really preach, and we don't send anybody. Trust me, we give everybody.
You didn't have any
even if you have black one,
you don't care. You didn't have any reputation. You didn't have any rest. You don't care what anybody thought.
Yes, so I was really moved that Tuesday, and when I got back home, I discovered I needed to go out to get something to eat. Then while going out, I started off easily. That was the first guy I met, reached out to, I think. And it was a security guy on the street.
Yeah.
Gate to that street. So I reached out to him and I asked him. I just went straight up if he was born again, because we usually greet one another. I went up if he was born again, and he said, yes, he is. And I asked him if he goes to a church. He said, yes, he attends the Pentecostal church. And it was just nice, basically that. Then I remembered somebody last week, and this is a girl that collected my number. She lives on my street and she collected my number a while ago. See, I've not lied.
George, why are you coughing now?
I don't know why it's coughing. So she collected
what kind
my
of
number.
Cough? You are healed.
Myself, if I don't have what to tell somebody, your number will just be there. Honestly, there is no reason for conversation. I don't try to push it. So I just decided to reach out to her. I don't know why. And it turns out she said, oh, she was struggling with it and all. And I just, it was more of an encouragement that it's not like we are perfect. Myself talking to her, it's not that I'm perfect. It's not that I'm perfect. Then I brought up the instance that you taught us earlier of the woman at the well that Jesus took water from. And she brought a whole city to him. She wasn't a perfect person to bring the city to him and all. And it was just much of words of encouragement. She attends a Catholic church. Okay. And she promised me that when she's back from school, she's in Covenant University, yeah, that she would come to SLC.
Thank you. Let's celebrate, please. All right, that's great. Can we celebrate all people that spoke again? All right. So it's key. It's key for us. The gospel on the pages of the scriptures will not get anyone saved. Only the gospel in the mouth of a believer would save anyone. All right? So I have a little statistics here. The world population as that this month is estimated to be 8.1 billion people. 8.1 billion people in the world. 8.1 billion human beings in the world as at this month of October. And the population of Christians as at this month, October 2023, is stated to be 2.6 billion people. Christians, born again church people. I didn't even say disciples. I just said Christians. Of which I wanted to mention one politician's name. Alright, he's a Christian. Yabilo is not a Christian. Yabilo is a Muslim. How about Rabbi Tinubu? He's a Christian, he's a Christian. He's a pastor. So she's inclusive in this at 2.6 billion people. And all over the world, 2.6 billion Christians. So you see, truly Christianity is, in context, the largest religion. In context, please, religion. Deliberately for the purpose of this discourse. Religion in the world. 32% of the world population are Christians. But even though Christianity is the largest religion in the world, it's still true that there are more people who are non-Christians than Christians. Do you understand my point? And that means that there's so much work still for us to do. So much work still for us to do. All right? So when we talk about soul winning, we must first understand, like I always say, it's the matter of the heart. I've emphasized that over and over. You see, when you have a heart for something, you find a way through it. When you have a heart for something, you find a way around it. When you want to do something, when it's in your heart, you find there will always be a way around it. It will be in your mind, it will be in your heart. You always find, if you always have excuses for not being able to do it, it's because it's not in your heart enough. Now, all the issues around fear, anxiety, intimidation, and all these kind of things may be true because you are scared, but if your heart is there, you will find a way. You might not be a stranger, it might be a friend, but you always find a way. It might be on your post, it might be something. There must just be a way that you get the gospel to someone. All right? In Matthew 18, verse 11. No more. Matthew 18, verse 11. What does it say? The Son of Man is come.
It was lost.
To save that which was lost. It says categorically, the Son of Jesus Christ had come to save that which was. Is that all? Now, if you open to Luke 19, verse 10, it says almost the same thing, but that's the word. Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. What does it say?
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save.
So, the word to seek indicates that Jesus Christ came to search for the lost. So, his mission on earth was to save the lost. So, Jesus Christ preached to save the lost. Jesus Christ taught to save the lost. Jesus Christ healed the sick. So everything Jesus Christ did was to dovetail or target towards saving the lost. And because of that, he did not stay in one place. He went from village to village, synagogue to synagogue, house to house. In the book of Luke chapter 42, Luke chapter 4 verse 42, help me. Luke chapter 4 verse 42, the Bible says he did not stay. They asked him to stay, but he refused. Luke chapter 4 verse 42, help me.
When it was day,
yes,
he departed,
yes,
and went into the desert place,
yes,
and the people sought him,
yes,
and came unto him,
yes,
and stayed him,
yes,
that he should not depart from them,
that he should not depart from them, yes.
And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities
I also. Must preach the kingdom. So Jesus Christ was so eager, he went from place to place. And that's the mindset that we must have as believers, that we must seek the lost. You see, He did everything possible to get the lost. Jesus Christ was so unconventional. He was so unconventional. In these days, the rabbis don't preach on the streets. They taught in the synagogue. But Jesus Christ taught in places where nobody would teach. Jesus Christ taught by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus Christ would teach in marketplaces. I mean, Jesus Christ would enter people's houses to teach. He taught everywhere. He didn't just teach in places where no one would teach. Jesus Christ spoke to people that no religious person would speak to. He spoke to Zacchaeus. Look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were the highest sinners in the world. Why? Because they paid the Roman government. They paid the Roman government money to buy their own people. What it means is that you pay the Roman government maybe $1,000, and they will say for the next 3 years, you can collect tax from these people. So how much you collect from them is not the Roman government's business. You can collect as $2,000, whatever you collect. So people saw them as traitors. That how can you, my brother, go and connive with the Roman government? So anyone that talks to tax collectors like this, you are the highest of sinners. But Jesus Christ spoke. I mean, he did not only speak, he slept in a tax collector's house. There are people that nobody would agree to be seen with. That Jesus Christ, he was eating. He was so unconventional. They called him friend of sinners. How can you say this? In fact, they told someone that, how can you say this man is righteous? See him eating and drinking with sinners. He called Matthew tax collector. Matthew, a tax collector. Do you know that Jesus Christ called Matthew from his tax collecting business to come and be disciple? Imagine. Let me look for the worst. Who is the worst? Politicians are the worst sinners. Who is the worst sinner in our current world? Normally. I'm looking for, you know, a community like a trade, like a Boko Haram terrorist. Jesus Christ called, say, come, follow me. And he began to follow Jesus. You know what Matthew did? To celebrate his appointment as a disciple, he threw a party. I'm telling you. Threw a party. And what kind of party will a sinner throw? Sinful party. House party. through the there. Say, remove 10 things from your body. How many things did you wear to this place that you had to remove 10 things? What would it mean? So he threw a party and invited sinners, more sinners. Jesus was so happy when he saw sinners. Nothing excited Jesus like sinners. Sinners! Sinners are here! Sinners! That's why he came! He says, no one, he said, a doctor is a healthy person, has no need for a physician. He said, I did not come for the righteous, I came for sinners. So you imagine throw a party of sinners. Jesus Christ would be very happy to attend that party. So the moment he saw them like this, he began to teach them. The Pharisees were so angry. What? What? See your master. He spoke to people that nobody would speak to. Spoke to that adulterous woman. Spoke to the Samaritan woman. He taught like nobody taught in his days. In fact, the soldier says, no one teaches like this man. Taught with authority. Taught with a difference. He spoke to Abraham, spoke to Peter, spoke to the adulterous woman, spoke to Zacchaeus, and all and all and all and all like that. And so everything that Jesus did was targeted towards getting the lost. The heart of God yearns for the lost. And because we as his children are living our lives outside the church, basically we must learn the skill of reaching the lost outside the church space. All right, let me quickly read the scripture. Dumo, please give it to me. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Then you go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. What does it say?
Joined to idols.
Yes.
Let him alone.
So God says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Did he know? Ephraim. Who's buried Ephraim here? Nobody. Thank God. Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him. Hosea 11 verse 1. Read through to verse 9.
When Israel was a child. Then I loved him.
All of you, look, put your eyes on your Bible. Put your eyes on your Bible. I need to read this guy. Yes, I loved him.
And called my son out of Egypt.
I called my son out of Egypt.
As they called them.
As I called them.
So they went from them.
They went from them.
They sacrificed unto Balaam.
Yes.
And burned incense to graven images.
So he says, when I called Ezra, Ezra was my son, but they started sacrificing unto Balaam. Yes, what does he say next?
I taught Ephraim also to go.
Ephraim, this same Ephraim says, let him alone. Yes, what does he say?
Taking them by their arms.
I took. Dumo, you have to read very fast. Like, what are you laughing about? Oh, yeah. Is the scripture funny?
Ephraim.
Yeah, continue.
I taught Ephraim also to go. Taking them by their arms.
Yes.
But they knew not that I healed them.
Yes.
I drew them with cords of a man.
Yes.
With bands of love.
Yes.
And I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them.
Yes.
He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because yes. He refused to return.
So you see God very angry with Ephraim. He says you will return to slavery. Yes.
And the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them.
So yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, continue.
Because of their own counsels.
Yes.
And my people are bent to backsliding from
me. Yes.
Though they call them to the Most High, none at all will exalt him.
Yes.
How shall I give thee up, Ephraim?
You see God threatening Ephraim from verse 1. You will go through this. You are going to see this. You go back to slavery. I'm going to do this. And I say, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Yeah. What happened again?
How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adma?
How will I make you like Adma? Yes.
How shall I set thee as Zeboim?
How will I do that? Yes.
My heart is turned within me.
My heart, Abi, is turned. Are you seeing that scripture? We don't have a screen to show you today. You see my heart. So you see him threatening, you know, leave him alone. Nonsense and ingredients. Leave him. Let him suffer. You see, but how shall I leave him? It's like he has bipolar. He has a mixed feeling. Mood swings, because his real heart is panting after the lost. You see through the scriptures. If you read the book of Isaiah, book of Jeremiah, those of us that used to read the Old Testament, we do read the Testament again. You see God threatening, whoa. You will not say, but if you come unto me, if you just see that this God is just, he does not want to do this thing. He said to Noah, I'm going to destroy everybody. I'm going to scatter everywhere. But let me build ark. Them to enter. I'm going to enter. If you want to destroy us, which one is destroy us? I guess the creating ark. Are you following my point? That means he did not have any intention. And the moment Noah came, sacrifice, because he said, I will never destroy the world again. I will never destroy. Only once you sacrifice, I will never destroy. Abba. So that's why you will never know God's original intention, original nature through the Old Testament. When you look at Jesus, you will not say, Kai. The heart of God is turning after the lost. But the sad news here is that what used to work in former years may not work, particularly for those of us who work in a secular space. What used to be, you know, that can operate or can serve doesn't work anymore. Some of the morning cry that we did in those days cannot work in your office. If you carry a megaphone to your office, you are going to lose that job. Are you following my point? So there is need for us to learn how to bring in the gospel into our workspace. The first thing that would give you a space or a place, particularly in your office, is that you are excellent in your work. Please put that down. Excellence. Excellent number one. In your school, you are not the one that will be failing and be preaching. No. We had those kind of programs when we were on campus. Somebody is failing exam and is preaching. What are you preaching? Are you following my point? Someone that is GP is 1.5. And he's still preaching. What are you preaching? No, you can't preach. You can't preach. God will say, shh, you are a bad ambassador. Are you you following my point? If you walk in the secular space, you must understand, number one, that excellence is the core key. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Help me do more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city. Someone, listen to me. The Bible says you are the light of the world. What it means is that when they compare what the world has to what you have, the world is dark. Whether it's in the tech world, in the legal world, in the finance world, when they compare what the world has to offer and what you have to offer, the world is dark. You are not the light of the church. We need to drive this home into our minds. How lighty is your walk? He says you are the light of the world. He says you are a city set on a hill. You are a city. You are a city set on a hill. What does it next? Help me.
Neither do men light a candle. And put it under a bushel.
So he says when you light a candle, you don't put your candle under a bushel. And there's some of us here today who the Lord has given you wisdom. You enter your office. You have excellence. You have a solution to the problem, but you allow low self-esteem to hold you back. You don't want people to think that you are too forward. And so you light a candle and hide it under a bushel. There are people here who are smart. You know, I'm still coming to people that are foolish, but let's do people that are smart. People that God has blessed you with a mind. You are working in an organization or working in a system, or they bring you to a place where they want to make decisions or policies. And they say, there's something in your spirit. And God has sent you there as a light. It is this light that the Bible says, arise and shine. For your light has come. And what? The glory of God is risen. It says, and the Gentiles. Gentiles, are they not unbelievers? Shall come to your light. And their kings to the brightness. So they are not coming to your temperament. They are not coming to your beauty. They are coming to your light. And that is the light that the Bible says you don't light and put under a bushel. There are believers who are too timid. You are in class. The teacher is working maths. You know the answer. But you don't say it. You have a candle, but you put it under a bushel. Look at David. David said, I'll kill that Goliath. No, David did not come and say, we don't know what God will do. Anything God say, all to his glory. Glory be to God. Whether we win or we lose, the Lord be praised. He knew that. Daniel did not say, they said they are going to kill all the sorcerers. I know that one day I'm going to die. I know that whether today or tomorrow, one must finally die. Let people not think that we are forward. And so God gives you a light. And then you hide it under your bushel. How will that light attract people to Jesus? Continue what I say next. Help me.
But on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
See this light now. This light is here. This tea stand. There's a place we put this light now. Nobody will see anything. If I remove this four lights now and put it under where those media guys are, this place will be dark. There's a place to position your light. Do you know that it is your responsibility to position your light? Some of you have products and you are expecting the Holy Spirit to come and help you market it. You have not learned the skill of marketing yourself. You think that marketing yourself is arrogance, or marketing yourself is pride. You are working in a secular space. And you have not seen that God deliberately put you there for a time like this. Look at Joseph. The king said his dream. Look at Joseph. Joseph, smart guy, tell us the meaning of this dream. Joseph told them, he says, my Lord, God is the one that gives interpretation for dreams. Told them, he says, the dream that my Lord, my king has seen are one and the same. The cow and the sheaves, one and the same. God is going to bring 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. It is already established. Has he interpreted the dream? Has he interpreted the dream? He says, but my Lord, let my Lord look within the kingdom and appoint a very wise man. One that is going to put ahead of these matters. Let 20% of all the products within the time of the abundance be put aside, preserved, so that in the time of when he finishes and says, let my Lord look for a wise man. My Lord says, who else? He went beyond. You see, there's no traffic jam on an extra mile. When you learn to do the extra, there's no traffic there. People that do the extra are not plenty. That is why you are a city set upon a hill. You are a light shining in that place. Are you following my points? You can't do shoddy jobs and expect people to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Continue, what does it say next?
Let your light so shine before
Let
them.
Let your light so
shine.
Answer me now, church. Are you sleeping on me?
No, sir.
Let your light what?
So shine.
Who is going to let your light shine? Eh? Who is going to let your light shine? Who is going to shine your light for you? You know, some people are waiting that the Holy Ghost will be the one to shine their light. In the name of false humility. Some people enter a place with their shoulder like this. You are working in NNPC. You are working in a bank. And in a dream, the Lord gives you revelation. Or you are working in a vision and it's a challenge and God gives you a solution. But you are working like this. You cover your light. You say, if God wants me to shine, God will come and God will let them know. They will see me where I am. It's still the same thing. I want to get married. Say, if God wants me to marry, God will do it. When you are supposed to let your light so shine? Before who? Eh? Before who? But you hide your light. You show your light only to God in the place of prayer. God said, leave me out of this. Go and shine this your light before men. Before who? People around you need to see your light. There are Christians that are hiding. I don't know how we got to that point. What's the name of this? Is it Reno or Remo? What's the name of this guy? This guy that sing. How old is that boy? Eh? Eh? 20 years old, Abi? Is he 22? That boy at 21 will stand in front of millions of people and will shine his light or shine his darkness. At 22, and you, God is giving you influence. I say, I don't want them to think that. So somebody will not be thinking that maybe somebody is proud or somebody is too forward. God is giving you influence early in life. The chairman of your company has already taken interest in you. Calls his office. He's already picking on your brain. But you see, I don't want them to now. So they will not even think that someone that what? Let your light even put soul. So what's the meaning of soul? Is to qualify the amount of intensity. Let it so shine. So that what will happen? Help me.
That they may see your good works.
So that they will see what?
Your good works.
Human beings don't need to see your good Bible. We don't want to see your good Bible. We don't want to see your good prayer life. Muslims pray 5 times a day. You're not the only one that pray. People that are into yoga and all those kinds of things, they can stay in one place for 1 year. All those monks and pray for 1 year. Is that not true? They can even suspend themselves in the air and meditate like a Master Shifu in Panda. He said Master Ubu got here for 30 years before he learned inner peace. That's Master Ubu. So we don't want to see your prayer life. What do we want to see? They want to see your good works. Good works. Good works. That when they see your work is a good work. When they see your good work, what will they do? Help me tomorrow. Say,
glorify your Father.
They will now begin to glorify your God in heaven. So it is by good works that God takes the glory, not by good church attendance. When you work in a secular space, you must churn out impeccable work. When you are in school as a student, you must churn out impeccable work. Excellent work. Excellent work. They could not hide from Daniel. They could not hide him away. Every political party that came in power would suspend everyone in the cabinet and retain Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, all the prince of Persia, all of them, as they were coming in, somebody would say, there's a man in the kingdom. He has answers to every problem. Bible says, for they found in him an excellent spirit. You see, children of God, we must begin to learn this. If they know, listen to me, if they know that your secret is speaking in tongues and prayer, if your boss or your people working with you find out that by the quality of work you are churning out, they found out that is your prayer life, they will give you space to pray. They will tell you, why not pray? They will tell you. If they found out, you know, Potiphar said to Joseph, he said, Kai, I have found out that everything in my house was progressing. He did so well in Potiphar's house that he made him manager. The Bible says Potiphar did not even know what was his own. Potiphar gave everything to that slave boy. He did that in Potiphar's house. When they said they raped, he wanted to rape his wife. I'm sure, I wasn't there, it wasn't written, but I'm sure that it was because of the kind of work that Joseph was doing that Potiphar couldn't kill him. So just going to throw him in that prison first. Maybe just hungry. Just get out of my sight. Maybe on his heart would come down. Because he couldn't, you know, there's some kind of punishment you can give people. Even in this church. There are people that if they offend, I say, oh my God. Sit down. Because they have been so quality. Even if they make us, because of them, I can even pardon every other person. I'm telling you as a leader. If there's a person that's an excellent person, makes a mistake, I say, everybody sit down. And the person says, ah, oh God, you should not have been this person. Everybody sit down. So he threw Potiphar, he threw Joseph into prison. Again inside prison. Joseph was so excellent. The Bible says he prospered in the prison. I've never heard of that kind of thing before. That even they had to make him head of prison. Now, you see, when somebody is having consistent pattern, it's not luck. It's not luck. And it's not favor. Because you can hide under favor and hide mediocrity and hide all kinds of terrible lifestyle under favor. Bible says good understanding attracts favor. So a man did well as a slave, did well as a prisoner. They invited him to the palace and did well as a prime minister. It is a pattern, it's not luck. Pattern of excellent work. So you are selling products. Is it you that you sold bad things to someone that is even very angry with you? You know, there was a guy that came to do the work in my house. I was very angry. He did show the work. And I have eyes. You see, my eyes is so terrible, negative, impositive. That if I say, I told God I did the lights in my dining. I said, make sure all the drop lights are the same. I said, if there is one of them is 1 inch, if it's 1 inch longer, I'll see it. I don't tip rule. If I look at it, if I say this thing is not straight, it's not straight. Trust me, it's not straight. So he sent me the picture of the thing when he did it. And I looked at it in the picture and I said, this thing is longer from the picture. He said, it's not possible. I said, it's not there. He came and measured it and said, it's true. It's longer. I said, it's longer. So imagine you do a work and I'm already angry with you that you did a very shoddy job. And I said, brother, accept Jesus. I can't even slap you. Now, or you, that you promise someone that you're going to supply them 50 50 copies of a particular product and 30 is back, 30 are spoiled. And the person is even already angry with you. Is it that kind of person you are going to say, I want to invite you to our church? He can get you arrested. And I'm telling you, God will be very happy about that. Or you, that you are constantly failing your examination, that you preach to your lecturer. You cannot even understand what the lecturer is telling you. How is sure you understand what God is telling you? When he is a mere human being, you cannot understand what he's saying. How do you understand God? He won't take you seriously. He won't take you seriously. So in the secular space, excellence is the key. Whatever you do, whether you're a musician, whether you are a tailor, whether anything, whether you're a lawyer, excellence, excellence. Number one, Matthew chapter 5, I've read, excellence is the key. Let's check out some other scriptures. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of God is risen upon you. Open to Luke 21 verse 15. Luke 21 verse 15. Excellence, number one. Luke 21 verse 15. I'll give you a mouth
and wisdom,
and the wisdom
which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay,
cannot gainsay or resist. So give me that in NLT. Luke 21 verse 15. I'll give you a mouth and the wisdom. Luke 21 verse 15. A mouth and a wisdom. What does NLT say?
For I will give you the right words.
I'll give you the right words.
And such wisdom.
And such wisdom.
That none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you.
So when you talk, God already gave you a mouth. Are you following me, Tunji? And a wisdom. That you attend an interview, or you are supposed to do a presentation, or a training. God says, I'll give you a mouth and a wisdom. That none of the competition there, none of the opponents there will be able to resist you. There's a mouth and a wisdom with which a believer speaks that compels everyone into compliance. That was the kind of mouth and wisdom that people like Daniel had. Do you know that Daniel never preached in Babylon? The only time that the king said everybody must worship the God of Daniel was when they saw him provide answers to difficult problems. I mean, they saw a hand. The hand wrote on the wall. From a mysterious hand wrote on the wall. They could not understand the language. Mysterious hand, mysterious language, mysterious handwriting. They went and called Daniel. And he says, teke, teke, mene, oprasi. Which language is that? This is bilingual or trilingual. Mene, mene, teke, oppress. It says, you have been weighed, you have fallen short, and therefore the kingdom shall be taken from you. The king said, give this guy gifts. Give him gifts. Give him gifts. Give him gifts. They said that the kingdom shall be taken from you. He did not even remember the interpretation. He was so thrilled that someone can provide answers. No, they call a meeting in the office. Everybody to say, you can say, it's what I wanted to say that the other person also said. Why is that? It's what they want to say. That's what the other person said. Only you, everything want to say. That's what that person said. Yes, yeah. It's as if you took the word from my mouth. It's as if you don't have your own sense. No! Every time they're only saying what's on your mind. They sit in a meeting, you are the one that will not talk. He says, I'm giving you a mouth. 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 Somebody say, I have a mouth. How do you give me a mouth? You have a mouth. You have a mouth. I have a friend, doesn't even have study law. He will say something, nobody understands what he's saying. When he says, please explain it. He has nobody understands what he's saying. He just derives pleasure in making everything complex. We will not beg, he will not break it down. So we always wanted to look for his opinion. What's your opinion? Some people never have any opinion. You never catch them have an opinion. The moment they just see that everybody has swapped to this side like this, they just swap, say, yes, I think I concur to the, I concur, I agree. I align myself to the prayer, to the initial speaker. Ah! So somebody say, I have a mouth. He says, let your light so shine. But in the corporate world, this is something you have to pray about. Oh. that, Lord, my light will shine. How are you going to attract people? Do you think that when you go to a place, it's by going there to go and pray in loud tongues that you get people saved? That's not, if you are working in Dangote's office now, let me tell you, Dangote can be saved. So you know that Dangote's problem is no money. So what can save Dangote? You cannot give him money. And I promise you, there are many pastors that would have come to say, Pastor, we want to buy a generator in our church, and we want to buy a windscreen in our church, we want to buy, that is giving money. Those guys will give money. So you must be somebody of a superior intelligence. When you walk in an hostile secular environment, you must deal with superiority, superior intelligence, superior wisdom, superior light. That everybody's light will be subdued by your light. It says everybody would hear you and will not be able to resist you. So the first one is good works, that's in light. Second one is good works, that's in character. Good works in character. Good works divided into two. I'll round up with this. Good works, the first is light. Good works, the second is character. In a corrupt world, in a terrible place, terrible world, you come in with character. You come in with character. You come in with character. The book of Titus, chapter 2, 7 to 8. Titus chapter 2, 7. We're going to read from King James and from NLT. Titus 2, 7 to 8. Help me.
In all things.
That's King James, Abby.
Yes, sir.
So let's read King James 7 and 8, then read NLT 7 and 8. Okay, let's go.
In all things.
Yes.
Showing thyself a pattern of good works.
Showing thyself a pattern of what?
Good works.
Someone say pattern. So it's a pattern. That's consistency. Character. Is to be worn all the time. If you go on your laptop, you press A, it says your laptop is malfunctioning. A is a character. Is that not a character? Is A a character? So if you press A appears on the screen. If you carry that laptop into the dark and press A will appear on the screen. If you run in from where everybody is and go to a very isolated place where nobody can see you and you quietly press A will appear on the screen. It is a character. It doesn't change. See, so show a pattern of good works. A pattern, predictable pattern of good works. You can say, I swear, this guy, this is what he's going to do. If they say, Mr. Tunji, God say no. Anybody can, Tunji cannot do that. Tunji cannot do that. I mean, when they wanted to catch Daniel, they caught him by his prayer life. They said, we cannot get this guy by anything but by his prayer life. I went to party with my elder brother. And I put my cap like a proper Yoruba man. We sat down. So they were serving. And they said, Ego, Abema like stout. You take stout. When they asked me that, my brother laughed. Ha ha ha. Kolemu. And I was there. Quiet. I didn't say anything. You know, I say Kolemu? Ah, hello. Kolemu, where's you? They said, no, Ebe, ah, yeah. And you're set by the Kolemu stout. Balamo, Kunishima. How can a man be young like this? He cannot drink. Where we put milk. My brother said, I said, we'll not drink it. We're getting Fanta. Fanta, that's what it is. Fanta. I didn't say anything. Predictable pattern. You see, if my brother asks, if he has asked me, Abi, will you drink? Then that means it's a problem. If my brother turned to me and asked, will you drink? That means I've not shown enough predictable pattern. So it takes time. You have watched, they can predict you in your office. It says showing a pattern of good works. Yes, continue.
In doctrine. Showing uncorruptness.
Showing what?
Uncorruptness.
Uncorruptness, yes.
Gravity.
What?
Gravity.
Gravity is weight. Yes.
Sincerity.
Sound speech, yes.
That cannot be condemned.
Yes.
That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed.
The person on the other side is now ashamed.
Having no evil thing to say of you.
Having no evil. Give me NLT. Verse 7. Titus. Everybody should write down the scripture. You need to read that. You need to read this scripture every time. Titus 2, 7 and 8. NLT. What does NLT say?
And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good work.
An example. A model. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, be an example. The world is looking for models. They are not looking for bigger Bibles. Even though I'm a full-time pastor, but I still work in secular space. And I knew what it is to have an example. One of the people I work with is a young guy in this city, extremely influential. He told me all the things that he had. And he's almost to the value of ₦1 billion, his assets. Young man, he's about 34. Handed everything to me. Gave me all the list, gave me all the documents. He said, if I die, he's already doing his will at that level. He said, it's not like he's going to die. He's not die, but he just wants to make sure everything is set. Why was he able to be open to me like that? You know, you cannot tell some people that you have 1 million. If you tell some people that you have 1 million, some of you, there are some of your siblings, you cannot even tell what you have. Your own family member. So only 1 million. Let me go. So you have 1 million. You like this? Guarantee it on. They bill you instantly. Ordinary that you post on Instagram. They bill you instantly. Bill you instantly. Billings. I told my friend I went to Canada. I said, don't post. He said, I can't post though. Say every time they post, school fees. All kinds of things. Pastor Bob, you said his landlord. He's very wealthy. Very wealthy. He has houses all over Ikoyi and all that. He now asked him, how did you get so wealthy? He said, that poor people cannot help poor people. That if you are poor, you cannot help. So when he was still struggling, when they called him from home, we need 5,000. He will shout, 5,000! Hey! Did you see me with Don? Where will I see 5,000 there? So this was is it 50,000 he said? Is it 5,000? Is that I will send you 2,000? I don't know. So that was all the So all the people that were very angry with him, nonsense, stupid boy, bastard boy, isn't it? When he has now made it, he's not going to go one by one. See, daddy, Deepo is outside. He has brought Range Rover. He has brought Range Rover. He's outside. He must say, I've always known. You are going to make us proud. You see, you were just this young when I began to know that this boy will be something in life. He bribed all of them back because now he has made it. He could, because he was already on top, he could pull people up. See, but when he was on the floor, he could not. So why was that guy able to open up? One of them was telling him, said he bought a house. He said he bought a house and he has used ₦400 million. To refurbish the house. ₦400 million. Even the keyboard went down.
What?
Even the keyboard is there. And he was telling me that to disclose that level, you have shown pattern of good works. You are wondering why nobody trusts you. Nobody is telling you anything. You have to show a pattern. This is be an example. An example. What's an example mean?
Good works of every kind.
By doing what?
Good works.
So you see good works repeat itself. Now let me tell you something. We are not saved by good works. Yeah. We are saved for good works. We are not saved. No matter who we are to God, we are not saved by good works. The Bible says that God has saved us. We are his workmanship. We are saved unto good works. So while you are not justified in God by your good works, you are a proof of that justification by your good works. The world does not understand what you call justification by faith or righteousness by faith. The world understands righteousness by good works. So I didn't know anything about NAFDAC until Dora Aquili was there. I didn't know anything about NAFDAC. I didn't know anything about NAFDAC. In a country as corrupt as Nigeria, there was a woman that said no. Her life was threatened for it. They killed her husband years after her death. She has a whole room full of awards. I mean, I'm not sure there's anybody that's put us on a global scene in the world like Dora Aquili did. How did she get there? By good works. Good works. You are a lawyer, be a good lawyer. You are a doctor, don't cut corners. You are a tailor. Whatever you are doing, be good at it. God spoke to that servant. He says, you are a good and faithful servant. There's a difference between faithfulness and good. Good in this sense was a skillful. It was, some people are faithful but not skillful. They are not even good at what they do. They do shoddy work, they do shabby work, they do anything. He said, but you are a good and faithful servant. So you are doing something in the office. You are, we have the reputation of the one that delivers fast. You call the client, I'll call you back in 10 minutes, call them back in 8 minutes. Have a reputation of the one that, of the person that delivers fast. Be on the face of your clients. Give them excellence beyond what they can pay for. Do what they want to do. Give them a package, go an extra mile, sell a car and fill the tank. Deliver excellence. Excellence is the minimum. Anticipation is the 21st century business gift. Anticipation is the highest gift. Anticipation. It's able to anticipate what is coming. AI, ChatGPT. You know what's coming. You are able to position yourself strategically, like Joseph did. He knew a famine was coming. He positioned himself strategically and he took advantage of the famine. Some people are taking advantage of the famine. This dollar rise, dollar distance, some people are taking advantage of it. Are you following my point? So excellence. So if you give your boss a kind of quality wisdom, you prefer solutions that puts the business on the fantastic vision. When you say accept Jesus, they will listen to you. Are you following my point? So what is saying accept me do more? Let me round up.
Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching.
Integrity and what?
Seriousness of your teaching.
Of your teaching. See, that's what King James called grave or gravity. Let everything you do reflect seriousness and integrity. Our proof that Christians have no integrity anymore. It's terrible. Somebody has to tell us. All the prosper on the street are Christians. Stella, Shade, Priscilla. And they are praying. One guy said the pastors wanted to have a meeting. They asked him to do opening prayer for them. The pastor was crying. Like, is that how my ministry has been rubbished? The thieves in the office. Check them. In the 70s, if they see somebody is born again, you can go and sleep. See that guy is born again, you can go and sleep. If somebody is born again, you open your eyes wider. You do business with fellow Christians, they scam you. Christian! Now you're having to write agreements with Christians. Oh, I beg. Agreements. Because Christians will scam you. Yahoo boys are in church. Not only Yahooing people's money, but Yahooing people's virginity. Scam everywhere. Christians. No integrity. They are here today. This is a very sorrowful state. There are more churches in Nigeria than there ever been in the history of Nigeria. There's more corruption. So the multiplicity of churches is not reflecting in the sanity of society. It's terrible. Somebody has to tell us. Somebody has to tell us. That's why less and less people are taking us seriously in the secular space. Somebody has to tell us. There's too much thieves in the church. Abba! I went to buy something in area 10. Those days we used to go and buy something by myself. The guy says, how much should I write on the receipt? I said, how much care? How much did I buy it? He said, he doesn't know whether I want to. I said, I'm the pastor of that church. This is how much you bought it. The guy said, he don't want to know anything. That's what they do now. So all the deacons from church, come and buy church AC, buy church speaker, buy church this one. Falsifying records. Stealing money. Still, church now full of thieves. No integrity. That's what is paining me most. I do business with a Christian. We have to drag ourselves to a Muslim judge. Me and you are Christians. We have a business. We had an agreement. We had a JBA, whatever agreement we had. And we have integrity. I, because of our character. And because we are Christians, I didn't even agree that we need to sign anything. Now you don't try to. The person that first calmed me on the issue of land in Abuja was a Mountain of Fire member. Firebrand. My 2 million is still with him till tomorrow. Scam me life. Took me to the land. Mountain of Fire. In Utakoye. Hey! Who do I report him to? My fellow brother. In Christ. I took the matter to God. Let God judge us. When I pushed him to the point, I was tired. How will I avoid with Washington? Christians! That is why we have less impact. Somebody has to tell us. This thing is terrible. Why? How did we accept Jesus and have no good works to show? There are changing documents in the office, changing documents, collecting bribe, all kinds of things going on, all kinds of rubbish, dirty things going on under our nose. I don't mind if unbelievers are doing it, but you are a Christian. Abba, stealing their boss's money. Christian sleeping with each other in the office. An unbeliever caught them. Unbeliever caught them. What are you doing? Filth.
And you're not going to say, I accept you. So is that your brother? I was in the cab. Trying to preach to one guy in the cab. The guy said, I beg. The last person that didn't pay my money, that ran away, that gave me fake alert, is pastor. I'm telling you, I have to apologize on behalf of the Christianity. I stand here on behalf of the old Christendom. We are sorry.
Abba! Too much corruption everywhere. Too much corruption everywhere. It's a show, a pattern of good works. Example. You see, if we get these things right, all this story we are saying will not be necessary. It's because they have found out that we are one and the same. One and the same. There's no difference. Help me. What does it say next?
Teach the truth. So that your teaching can't be criticized.
Your teaching cannot be criticized, yes?
Then those who oppose us will be ashamed.
People who are standing against us. I need to round up now. People who are standing against us are ashamed. Why are they ashamed?
And have nothing bad to say about us.
They check us, no scandal. They carry you like this, shake you, throw you on fear, land you bar, ERCC, ICPC. Shake you through and through, thorough and thorough, shake you. There is no one combo that is in your account that you cannot account for.
Have money in your account that you cannot account for. So there are churches now that are money laundry centers. Churches, so they will run 150 million through your accounts. 120 million will come out on the other side. That 30 million is the oil to grease the passage. So you as a pastor starting in a city, this pastor, they have done this, they have gone to UK, they have done this, see the big land they bought, see this one they bought. You don't know how they got the thing they get to. Just face your Jesus. There are many thieves behind the pulpit. No integrity
today. I tell you, in the days of the deeper life and the Christ Apostolic Church revivals, if they say somebody is an SU or is a born again, you can put all your life on his hands. He won't touch it. Now, don't try it. Even me in church now, we used to announce that, please be careful where you put your phone. No charging your phone. Put your personal belonging personal. Because there are people that come to church to my stiffness. The word of God does not even touch their hearts. I was in Redeem Camp to pray. Retreat. VG. Somebody steal phone inside VG. VG. You left your... We are here. So, if you lose God, as you are falling under the anointing, you say, yes, please. Right? The Holy Ghost. Before you fall me down, let me secure. You close your eye, your phone is gone. How did we get there? This is why unbelievers in the secular space are not taking us seriously. You know, in my church in law school, nonsense. When I was lost, I was playing piano for that fellowship. There was a pastor there. It was a lecturer. He's dead now. I would have mentioned his name, sir. He's dead now. His children might stumble on his car. So while we're there, you know, in law school, lawyers can be very funny. They take alcohol, they're everywhere. So while we are there, you know, carrying the Bible, I'm going to fellowship.
You know, without your fellowship, you're your pastor. We know where they shadow your pastor now.
I said, never.
Pastor so and so, that can be. If an unbeliever says this guy is born again, he's born again. If an unbeliever says this guy is born again, are you following my point? If an unbeliever says, I say this guy is born again, that guy is born again. If the unbeliever says this guy is not born again, he's not born again. The unbeliever knows why he says he's not born again. He knows they have seen him. So when they say that guy, the guy say, forget, the guy not the church. Not be your pastor. Not be that pastor church where all of now they go. I said, no, that's not what's up. He said, okay. He said, this Sunday, that your pastor no go come church. And Edosha. He said, now me, I was the one that organized their hotel room for them. He said, if he comes church, let's bet. So meet, I was eager. It's true. Man of God did not come to church with the Edosha. There are all kinds of yama stories began to come out. Like this choir leader. That's the sugar mommy. This one is that one. I didn't want to remember the stories. I was so angry. That time I didn't even have the tolerance. Now I'm very jet. I'm a pastor. That time I wasn't a pastor. I say, I cannot settle here, and this continues to happen. So my friend say, so what are you going to do? I say, I'm going to stop this. He said, me, I'm going to live in faith. Me, I've already left the church. I'm going to Winners. So he went to Winners in town. We are in Agbani, Enugu. There's one Winners church just on that road to law school. We went to Agbani. When he got there, he ran back the next week. I said, what happened? He said, the pastor put on a cottage too. He said, that cottage. He said, he caught this from Lasso. He said, caught this. I even caught this. Caught this. No. He said, caught this. He's supposed to go there. He said, that's why I quickly ran back here. That at least this one is just Edosha. And then, So I told him, I said, you see now that you cannot be running from Satan. Anywhere you go, Satan is there. You must deal with Satan where you are. So they say, let's be praying. I said, I cannot pray about this matter. I must do something. So when I was in the restaurant, Calabar Kitchen, I'll never forget. The student's fellowship president now came in. I was eating like this. As I saw him, unprecedented, unplanned, I just got up and said, yes, man of God. I said, well, I hope you're aware that the children of Belial have taken over the fellowship. You guys say, it is well. I said, no. The Bible says, say to the wicked, he shall not be well with you. It's not well, sir. I said, and until these children of Belial are removed, I said, I and some of my friends, we are called the Firebrand Brethren. We are going to tear down this fellowship into bits. We are not here to joke. We give you 7 days. And I mentioned names of these guys. I've matured. I was not matured then. I was not matured now. I don't think I can't see anyone now. I'm very. I'm telling you, the pastor, he was not the senior pastor, he was an associate pastor. So the student president quickly went and told the pastor that keyboardist. He said he was going to scatter this church. And he has mentioned names like this person. Because the head of drama was smoking book. The head of drama was smoking book. They saw him. They came and told us that he was smoking book there. I said, which kind of church is this? Because we came from Mobile University. We were very spiritual. And it was because of this strike. That's why we came here late. Otherwise, they would have even picked escorts among us. Because people that came earlier, they just pick on these children of Belial. And they were ending positions in church. Nonsense and ignorance. Rubbish. And the pastor did was beggarly. Just do stupid things. Finish preaching. Say, were you blessed? Say, yes. Come and drop something here. Come and drop something. Just useless on something. Nonsense jargon from top to bottom. Which kind of church is this? This must stop. So I stood there with the piano, from my face. Marcus Quata. Okay. So you see. So the pastor just said they have announced that they're going to be removing some people. And they removed that one. Then he gave water cup. And he gave water cup because he wanted to force people to give their life to Christ. He said everybody must give their life to Christ. we that were born again for. Say no, everyone, including you, brother. Please, you. You already pointed out. Even the pastor that was pastor came out to give his life to Christ. I was furious. It's a rubbish. In the church. In the church. My former church, TCC. One guy there was shadowing all the girls, sleeping with them. Anyhow. Ah! When I found out, I said, I will deal with this boy in this church. What? You know, I know people are struggling with this. I don't know people that are struggling. When I know someone that is struggling, I know someone is struggling with this problem. This one is enjoying it. I mean, hop from one sister to your sister. Ah! Like a cooking competition, just testing them. Just wait. Ew, Jesus. So when he now got a feeling that we're about to deal with him, because I was in the choir, and news had gotten to that Bro Philip has found out this is going to that Bro Philip has said he's going to finish you today after service. When they made altar call, the guy now came out from the choir stand. He came out. I said, "It's a lie. I'm going to deal with you. If you like, give me that guy 10,000 times. When I'm done dealing with you, you will not cry." I said, "It's a lie." I said, "So you are not born again? Are you being with us? You will suffer in my hands. Please help me." I said, "It was." So I pulled him after service, put him in the back of the church. I said, "So you are not born again? And you join the workers?" I'm telling you. No integrity. No character. So you do that in church. You now carry to the workplace. You carry to the world. There's no difference. You see, we can deceive ourselves here. There, their eyes are open wide. They see you from a distance. They sniff you. When you are real, they know. When you are fake, they know. They know. See, that guy is just fake. You now carry your Bible, say your Bible. How do you preach the gospel? They must see good works in light and good works in character. All right, we'll stop there for this night. Let's celebrate the Lord. Come on. I want you to bow down your heads and say, "Lord, I have the mind of Christ. I declare that the wisdom of God is at work in me. The light of God is reflected in me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my work churns out the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus." Mamba babros ketelegedelebat.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.